number 1 and verse number 19 and 20. James, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's all right. There's one right there in front of you in the pew rack. Go ahead and grab that. And let's go ahead and start looking at that. James chapter number 1. We're in our series called Everyday Bible for Everyday Disciples. We want to be a blessing to you. And I'm bringing a series of messages on practical Christianity. How do I live it? And to name some of them, they've kind of been spread out since the end of July real quick. And you'll find them all up on the website. I've talked about how to know God's will. So I did how to make godly decisions back in July. How to develop your inner circle, who is it you're listening to, knowing the will of God, how to resolve conflict, how to keep your kids from getting bitter, how to forgive when you just don't know how. And two weeks ago, we talked about how do you get back on track when you get off track spiritually. And we all can. We can all get off track spiritually. And if you haven't yet, you all hang on. All right? I'm not saying you lose your salvation. What I'm saying is you were trucking along and everything was great with Jesus. Now all of a sudden things are dry. It's like you can't get your prayers through the drywall. And it's like, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. How to get off? Are you there, God? Is anybody else on the other end of the line? Well, we looked at that last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, tonight I want to follow up on that. One of the main ways we get off track is our anger. All of us have it. You show me an angry kid, I'll show you an angry mom and dad, or mom or dad, or both. But anger is destructive. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, we covered that in conflict resolution. That's up on the web. Brother Phil's got that archived on the website. It's also up on our YouTube channel. But look at verse 20. Why is this important? For, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger is one of the ways we get off track. I was shown some literature from Alcoholics Anonymous that have four basic triggers. They call it HALT, H-A-L-T. Hunger, anger, loneliness, and tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Those are like the top four that trigger a person. Well, we all get angry. What makes you angry? When was the last time you got angry? Oh, of course you don't, right? Right? I mean, in 1611 English, you say, "Well, I got vexed." Right? Is that what you say? "Thou vexest me, brother. Vehemently vexed my righteous soul from day to day." Is that what you say? Or maybe you use the, because nobody wants to be seen as angry, right? I mean, CNN loves to use the word angry. Angry mobs, angry parents, angry this or that. We don't, of course, but the danger is we get into the socially acceptable version of anger called frustration. "Oh, I know how you feel, brother. Sister, I know how you feel." So what makes you frustrated, vexed, angry? Want to say something. You know what I mean by that. Have you ever noticed there's a point where fast food's no longer fast food? Huh? It's crazy. I go to McDonald's and people wait till they get to the counter to decide what they want. I knew what I wanted when I got out of bed. I knew what I wanted. I knew where I was going. I knew what I was going to say to the lady standing outside. You realize that menu hasn't changed since I was a child. I mean, right to left, back to front. I can tell you where it's at. There's only two kind of McFlurries, dude. Only two. There's only one kind of cone. Get out of the line. You know, you never felt that way. Huh? I'm just like, You ever go to KFC? You know what they have? Chicken. You know what else they got? Chicken. I can't work at KFC. Why? Because I'd be like, "You want chicken or chicken? Get your stuff, get out of here. You want chicken? Chicken. That's what we got." Nobody goes to KFC for the mashed potatoes. "Baby, I'm just hankering for some mashed potatoes. Let's go to KFC." No, it's, get out of the line. No, that's just Pastor Mix. I love Chick-fil-A. Man, they got their junk together. You realize if the government would have used Chick-fil-A, we'd all be tested, vaxxed, and boosted before we ever knew what happened. Right? What makes you angry? What made you angry this morning? Come on now. Struggle's real. Because anger is something we all get into. Anger really is a loss of self-control. It's not an adult behavior. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. We don't like to think of it this way, but one of the ways we get off track spiritually, my preacher used to say, get your leg across the trace. That's a cowboy term for getting yourself pinched because you, anyway, right? I mean, you get pinched between the saddle horn and the back of the horse. He had a lot of sayings like that. He said, this is how you get your tail in a crack. You ever heard that phrase? No. This is how you get off. One of the main ways we all get off spiritually is we get angry. We get angry with a brother or a sister. We get angry with the preacher. We get angry with our spouse. We get angry with our kids. We get angry with our parents. We get angry with our neighbor whose dog makes regular deposits. At least now the people in my neighborhood are leaving them in the bag for me. So all I have to do is pick up the bag now. So, I mean, it's a progress. All right? You know what I'm talking about. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 25. The Bible reads, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Now, you need to underline that phrase. Now, I've already talked to you about put away lying and speaking truth. We've talked about that. But the thing we forget is we are all members one of another. What happens to you affects me. What affects me affects you. You're not an island. We're a family. This church is the local New Testament body of Jesus Christ. What happens to one part happens to all of us. Amen. And I guess that's what hurts sometimes with us, brothers and sisters. And you may not know this, but what hurts, you know, one of the things that hurts my heart is the fact that somebody's going through something and they don't want me to help them, or they don't want to tell me, or they would rather just, you know, and like I don't matter. I'm like, well, we'll just do this. I'm like, yeah, we love you. What happens to you happens to me. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You need to resolve this. The minute your anger starts to well up in your heart, you need to resolve it quickly. Okay? Neither give place to the devil, because that's what you're doing. You're giving him a beachhead. It's really an immature behavior. It's a sign of immaturity, especially spiritual immaturity. You ever seen an adult throw a temper tantrum? One of my favorite videos on Facebook, and I like stupid videos, is when the garbage man got mad because the can wouldn't open, and he gets around, and he just busts the can on the back of the garbage can and throws it, and knocks over the mailbox, gets mad, and beats the mailbox to pieces, and just throws it, you know, throws away the evidence in the back of the truck and drives off. And Proverbs 14 and verse 17 said, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Now, we see this in teenagers and kids a lot of times, and that's because they fail to see past the end of their nose. Everything is an immediate, urgent problem. And it's not the fact that we get mellower the older we get. It's just that we have wasted enough emotional currency on things we recognize that aren't really a big deal. So we just kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't need to get upset about this. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A lot of times we get angry because we're losing sight of the big picture. We're losing sight of the fact that this is not what in front of me right now is life or death. Nor is it immoral or illegal. It's just me, myself, and I as a group, the three of us, have our own agenda, and you are getting in the way. If you knew how important I was and the things I wanted to do, why, you would get out of my way. And you think, no, that's not how you really think. Well, then how is it that you get like that? Why do you get angry when people don't do like you think they ought to, or respond the way you think they ought to, and or interface with you the way that you think they ought to? And because we take it as an affront, and we get angry. My mother, bless her heart, when I would come in and I'd be all upset about something, my mother would say, you know, if that's the worst thing that ever happens to you, you'll be lucky. Mrs. Mix. I refer to her as Grandma Mix, so you don't think it's Sarah. It's my mom would say that. You got to determine what makes you angry. What is it? And because, listen, everybody else is walking on eggshells in those areas of your life because they don't want to trigger you. And of course, we laugh about that with these younger groups. I mean, I was having a conversation with a guy at a restaurant here last week, and oh my soul, he got triggered and had a meltdown. He was working there. And all I said was this, well, how's that going? You know, I've been praying for you. And he lost his stuff. And I guess I triggered him. What triggers you? What is it somebody says, somebody does, a situation? You got to determine what it is that the devil is using to take pot shots at your life. Is it low self-esteem? Is it how you see yourself? Or are you upset about how somebody might make fun of you? I mean, some days you seem to be able to blow it off, but then there are other days you just boil. Why? Why is that? Is it because it's that person versus that person? Is it because you know this person doesn't actually earn a paycheck? They just call it in from the back row of the cubicle, and this one's actually working? Or you know who that is. Now, I talk to teenagers about the need for acceptance all the time. When I'm talking to them, I'll talk to them about how this is a trap. Because you'll never fully get what you want from your peers. Because it always changes. Those kids that shot up at Columbine High School, they said they did it because they didn't fit in and they were bullied and all this other stuff. But the truth is, and it's horrible, and it's terrible, and I disagree with, no one should ever do that. But I want you to understand, every one of us can get our eyes off the fact that we actually are important because of who we're important to, and try to get that from other people and find ourselves wanting. Your self-worth and self-esteem and your self-image needs to come from your relationship with God, not other people. Now, we talked about this when I told you how to develop a godly inner circle. When you go to find counselors and people to get advice from, that inner circle needs to be people who walk with God and love you because God loves you. Right? Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of me old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You got to understand, your self-esteem and your self-worth cannot be given from the other people. This is one of the curses we saw Sunday night in Genesis 3, that the wife would have her desire to her husband and he would rule over her. And one of the problems is your husband can never, ever, ever on his best day fulfill you emotionally. Now, he ought to try. He ought to love you enough to do everything he can, but it's only going to be with your relationship with the perfect man, Jesus Christ, that you actually get fulfilled. Amen. Gentlemen, same thing with your wife. Your wife on her best day cannot, but Jesus can. Okay? Now, in Christ's opinion of you is what must matter most to you, not other people. You know, it doesn't matter where people respect you or not. My concern is, how does what people think of me reflect on Jesus? That's as close as I get to what, you know, when I say, well, I don't care what people think. Well, I do in the fact that if I'm a jerk, they're going to think God is a jerk, okay? My big concern about them, their opinion of me is it affects their opinion of God. I don't care whether they like me or not, but I am concerned that if I reflect poorly on the testimony of Christ, they will think poorly of Jesus Christ. See, because I know who I am. I know whom I'm important to. I mean, God sent his son to die for me. And you know, God knew what I was like before he did that. God knows what you're like, and he sent his son anyway. Think about that for a second. Nobody loves you like that. No peer, no friend, no spouse. The problem is we get frustrated with what other with this facade concern about what other people think of us because we don't like what we see in our own mirror. It's our view of ourself that is the problem. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Well, she's prettier, or he's better looking, or they're a better athlete, or they got a better promotion, or they're better at speaking, or they're better at this, or better in that, and I'm never going to get ahead. You know what? They are not your self-esteem group. And if you find yourself jealous or finding yourself frustrated, you need to pull those people out of your self-esteem group. and say, I need to pull them out. I really care what God thinks. Why does their opinion matter? On August 2nd, I preached on that, your inner circle. You can't let the opinions of others control you, because when you do, you're the puppet. You're the trick monkey. You understand that? I used to do work in secular world. This is not my only career. I've been in a cubicle farm. I've been on the job. People like to mess with you because they're bored. Don't let them push your buttons. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And we read in Ephesians 4, neither give place to the devil. When you allow yourself to be frustrated because of the idiocy of someone else or somebody else trying to be funny and carrying it out very poorly, you let that frustrate you, you are letting them control you. Well, I wonder what they think of me. You're letting them rent space in your head for free. When was the last time you got angry? What made you angry? So you have to take personal responsibility for your life, or you're going to get off spiritually because your eyes aren't on Jesus. I just watched the last episode of season 3 of The Chosen where Peter gets his eyes off Jesus. They did a pretty good job of that. They did a pretty good job of bringing that out on the screen. And we do it. You might not be in a water storm with rain, but you're in some sort of a storm in your life and you get your eyes off Jesus. Man, it just starts to get dark. And you can either go one of two ways. You can go despair or you can go angry. And anger is what leads to wrath and then malice. Malice is the desire to see somebody else in pain for your own pleasure. That's where that comes from. It's because when they were in the dark time, they got their eyes off Christ and they went this way. Proverbs 19:9, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishments. You either have to remove yourself from the situation or the authorities will. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls, Proverbs 25:28. I go to work tired. Well, then go to bed earlier. Well, that isn't always an option. I understand that. But you do have control, or at least a choice on how you will behave. We've all pulled 24-hour duty. We've all been up for 2-3 days on a project. We've all done it. Just like we're to choose what we think on, we are supposed to choose our attitude and our responses. That's why we're not to react to other people. We are to respond as God would, as Christ would have us to. People who cannot control their anger are the ones that lose. Haven't you ever played that in a negotiation? When I'm doing counseling with somebody, I will sit and the first person who talks loses. I mean, seriously, you they're the ones waiting, they're the ones stonewalling. They're the ones waiting for you to try your best to get in on the inside of what's going on. No, I just sit there. You're the one that came to me. In a negotiation at work. You ever play chicken with a negotiation? The guy who flinches loses. Well, let me tell you something. In a situation, the guy who gets angry is the guy who's lost control. He is the one who is no longer in control. Those that act out their anger and live to tell about it are in prison. Proverbs 30 and verse 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And angry people have a nasty tendency to hurt the people they love the most. So you've got to keep your eye on Christ. Number two, you've got to take control of your own self and your own you've got to. Nobody else is going to. You have to. And number three, you've got to count the cost. Well, I just want to give them a piece of my mind. My preacher would always say, you can't afford it. That's what he'd say. But truth is, really, you don't go into the office tomorrow and beat on your boss's desk and go, bless God, Colonel, you're not going to. That don't really work, does it? General or whoever, sir, ma'am. Anger leads to wrath. Anger leads to malice. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You've got to count the cost because you can foolishly affect your entire future in a moment of anger. And when we're angry and out of control, we have a nasty tendency to dredge up junk that we should not talk about. We should not mention. We use stupid words like always, you always, you never. And it's because you're hurt. See, when you're dealing with somebody who's out of control like that, you need to have compassion. I know they're calling you names and they're right off the tip of your nose, but it's really the problem inside them that you're dealing, that you're experiencing. It's not the problem in you. It's them. It's them. Now, I'm not talking about self-defense here. You definitely need to defend yourself. But I do need you to grasp the concept that anger is a childish emotion. Anger affects those around you. Anger is the devil playing Mary Hobb with you. Gives him an opening to mess with you. Number three, you affect everybody around you. Or four, I can't count. Number four, it affects the people around you. You're not an island. And it will affect your future if you're not careful. Now, I saw a T-shirt that was talking about our current state of our government, and the tagline was, if I get involved, I'm going to jail. It's true. What's going on out there drives me crazy. That's, you say, well, preacher, why? I don't even watch the news anymore. Why? Because I can't. All I can do is vote. But you know what I can do that's greater than voting? And I vote. You all better vote. It's coming up this November. You better vote. You better vote. But the most important thing I do is pray and go soul winning. You will. You want to change what's going on in our world? Win souls and pray. Win souls and pray. Anger, usually anger from pain, though, and hurt, that's the toughest. Anger that stems from a betrayal, abuse, or neglect is something that you have to go to God for. Now, I'm all for talking it out. I'm all for getting good psychiatric help. I have great respect for especially the counselors that come to our church. They are wonderful, godly people. But I'm telling you, the ultimate healing is Jesus. If you need medication, then get medication. Follow your doctor's advice. You heard me say it here. Follow your doctor. But none of that is going to really get you all the way through to healthy until you get God involved. I talk to young people, but yes, I'm still dealing with people in their 50s and 60s who are still dealing with the abuse they had as children, and they have got to go to Jesus Christ over it. They have got to go and get grace. It's the only thing that heals. So when you're hurting, anger only makes it worse. Lashing out at people. See, unresolved hurts becomes what the Bible refers to as the root of bitterness. And the root of bitterness is like a dandelion. Every time you mow it down, it just keeps coming back up. And even if you try to get under it with a shovel, it's got a 2-foot taproot, and it just keeps coming back up. And see, bitterness is the same problem. You got this unresolved hurt. And so you decide you're going to break off this relationship because they have made you angry and they're not going to apologize and this isn't going to work, so I'm going to go over here. But as soon as you go over here and somebody else does something and triggers you, you puke all this bitterness that you started with over here that never got resolved with God, you puke it on these people, ruining your relationship at this office or this marriage or this blended family. So now you move over here. And now you're in a different relationship, maybe a different job, a different career, and all of these unresolved hurts. And in a moment where there's pain and you're hurt and you got and your anger gets triggered, and now you puke this bile and that bile, and now all of this gets on this person times three. Because wherever you go, there you are. You cannot fix bitterness or anger by geographically relocating. It's only by going to God and talking to God about it and asking God for the grace, the supernatural enablement to forgive by faith, and He harnessed the power of that and use it to mold you and shape you into the image of Christ. You only self-destruct otherwise. You must find your peace and rest in the Lord's. That's it. That's where your peace and rest comes from. So let me summarize. Your self-esteem needs to come from your standing with God. You are not an accident. God knows the truth about you and accepts you anyway. And if you're okay with God, then you're more than just okay. And God knows the truth about you and loves you. Your identity should come from your relationship with God. You are not a mistake. He knows who you are, and he knows what you are, and I am what God says I am. Amen. Regardless of how I feel. My feelings have nothing to do with it. Our self-worth should come from our relationship with God. You are valuable to God. You're the reason he sent Jesus to the cross. You have value, and God knows your weaknesses, and he still wants to use you in his divine plan. Isn't that a crazy thought? Our purpose should come from our relationship with God. You are not here by accident. You have a purpose bigger than yourself. Now, I understand I'm the easiest to get frustrated. I do. Frustration over circumstances, but that's foolish to do that. And I have to talk myself down. Do you guys ever do that? Do you ever have a conversation with yourself in the car? You kind of ball up all that frustration and go, it's not that big a deal. They'll take number two. Look, can we, you ever do that? You hang out the window. They said McMuffin. So, how do I keep my anger from knocking me off track? Go to Psalm 37. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Psalm 37 and verse 1. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. How do you keep your anger in check? Number one, fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't get upset. Don't allow yourself to get frustrated over what other people are doing. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't do that. Don't do that. God is going to take care of that. It's payday someday for every human being on the planet. And verse 37 promises us peace if we trust God to do it. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. God's got it. God's going to take care of it. And he's going to do a better job than you. Number two, look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Yeah, well, I don't feel like it. Trust the Lord and do good anyway. Amen. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. Do you see that? Did I read that right? Yes. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his plan. And trust in his character. Number four, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when you align your heart with God, you start caring about the things God cares about. And you're praying about things God wants you to pray about. And he'll answer. Let God be the only person in your esteem group. Verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. There's a whole sermon in those two verses I don't have time to get into tonight. But you need to commit your way unto the Lord. Well, I wanted that job, and I didn't get it. I wanted to leave at this time, and now we're late. You don't know what God's protecting you from. You don't know what mess God's keeping you from. God does things like that because he loves you. Our responsibility is just to believe and trust him by faith. Verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Trust in the Lord. If you're in the right, he's your defense. If you're in the wrong, you don't have a defense. You're just wrong, and you need to apologize. Verse 7, so I looked at fret. Stop letting things frustrate you. It's not life or death. Number two, trust God with it and continue to be faithful to do good. Because you've heard about sowing and reaping. You keep sowing to the good. You keep sowing to good. Well, they don't. Doesn't matter what they do. It's you and God. Number three, delight yourself in the Lord. Find your joy in God. Number five, commit your way to him and trust him. He'll bring it all to pass. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. That means quiet yourself in God's presence and wait patiently for him. Verse 34 says, wait on the Lord. Wait means to stay in expectation. All right, our hope is defined as my expectation that God's going to do me good and not evil all the days of my life. That's my hope. It's not a wish. It's not a maybe so, that is a promise. So I'm not looking at the world's promises. I'm not looking at, at the promises the stock market gives me, or the promises the day traders give me, or the promises the network marketing people give me. No, no, I'm looking at the hope that God is going to do me good. Regardless of my immediate circumstance, God's going to do me good and not evil. That's how I keep from letting anger run my life. But it says in verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep His way. My responsibility in all of these circumstances and all these things is that I'm to be obedient and respectful. It's the only thing I actually truly have control over. And you have to be obedient by faith because, number one, your flesh doesn't care for any of the things of God. So when you do it, but when you do something for the Lord, it isn't always going to feel like joy, joy, and unicorns, okay? All right? Nobody's going to have a parade because you decided to do right. But I want you to understand it pleases the Lord. So keep His way. And in verse chapter 37 and verse 8 and 9, we're to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do you see that there? In verse number 8 and 9, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't yell, scream, and throw things. Don't cuss. Don't do that. Don't act like a child, for evildoers shall be cut off. God's going to do it. He's going to collect on that bill. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, maybe this week you let the devil put his toe in the door and mess with you. Maybe you had those moments. We all do. And it gets you off track because now you got to go back and deal with God because God saw and God heard. And God saw that as you not trusting Him to handle it. You got mad. You screamed. You hollered. And probably led your mouth and your mind to sin. And hopefully not your body, but your mind and your mouth probably sinned. So make that right with the Lord. Make it right with the Lord and do good. We overcome evil with good, the Bible says. So even though the things around us are toxic, even though your work environment or wherever you are, do good. Do good. And the promise from God is that He will handle these issues rather than us trying to do it and be out of control. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I hope just a practical message tonight will help you and remind you that even your pastor has a struggle in this area. That each one of us does. But it doesn't work the righteousness of God. It works sin. And we're adding to the problem we're facing when we are out of control emotionally. Our heavenly gracious Father, it is only You that has the right to be angry. It is only You that is righteous and holy. And Father, our flesh is way too involved in our day-to-day living. And Father, we ask Your forgiveness for that. And Father, there are hurts that go deep in the hearts of each person. I pray, Father, that You would give special grace and by faith lead us to give those hurts to You for healing and for our good and Your glory. Father, help us. Father, because it does matter how our lives reflect upon You, but it does not matter how. Our desires should be in line with Yours. And God, that's hard. So tonight, God, we ask that You would speak to every heart and every soul. Help us as Your people, Father. Show us the areas where we've allowed anger to ruin and to wreck. We ask, God, for the help and healing that only You can provide, that we may be even more usable tomorrow than we were today. And as we pray tonight, if there's one among us, God, that's lost, we ask, Father, that You give them the conviction to come and be saved and to trust Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. As the music plays, the altar's open. You can pray in your seat or you can lead your family down here and you can give that frustration, that anger, that moment where you were not at your best, you were not acting like the image of Christ, you can give it to Him. Give it to Him tonight. And do good. brought to mind someone that you have sinned against in your anger. And it's your anger that needs to be forgiven. Won't you talk to the Lord about them tonight before you go talk to them about it? But definitely you need to go and talk to them about it. Every situation can be resolved with these simple words. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Most every relationship in the world can be resolved by those simple little words. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And in the next few moments as we fellowship and leave this wonderful place, we pray, Father, that you would help us. Help us to take with us the message of Christ and the knowledge that you're on our side. Father, you love us and that you know us, you accept us, and you've planned for a purpose for us. May we go from this place with the desire to fulfill that purpose for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May it look this way.